download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Well, good evening. This is not your host, Kevin Tachi. This is Christine James from the WATD Newsroom. But Kevin Tachi is here in studio with me, also alongside me, Charles Mathewson. And this is Politics Tonight, back-to-back political forums. It is primary season here on the South Shore. Tonight, the race is for the 7th Plymouth District. That's Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater. First up, the Democrats, Alex Bezanson and Kevin Higgins. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Immediately following, the Republicans, Gregory Eaton and Ellison Sullivan. I always feel like I'm calling a WWF fight when I talk about these political things with all the great music in the background. Now, this is an open seat because current Rep. Jeff Deal is making a run for the U.S. Senate. As I said, I'm your moderator tonight, asking questions with me, your Monday Night Talk Show host, Kevin Tachi, who's also here representing Whitman, Hanson, Cable. Thank you so much, Kevin. And WATD's Charles Mathewson. Now, we chose our opening and closing order just a few moments ago out of the official WATD Newsroom koozie. We're going to start with an opening statement first with Alex, and then we're going to go to Kevin. And as we remind people with each forum, our format is simple. The candidates will make opening and closing statements. It's a 2-minute open and a 1-minute close. In between, we ask a round of questions that includes the famous lightning round. That means the reporters will ask a question, and the answer will either be yes or no, and that's just yes or no, with no explanation or long sound effects, anything else, or a 1 or 2 sentence answer the reporter will ask. If we have time, candidates may ask each other a question or two. And if we've got our timer here, and that's Amy Leonard. Thank you very much. And she's got the colored sheets of paper, green, yellow, and red. I think we all know what they mean. I know sometimes people are not clear on that. Green means go. Yellow means you
go faster.
Yellow means you have 10 seconds. Red means you're done. Now, I usually give you a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that means a little bit of a grace period. But if you're still talking, that's the bell. You're done. Okay? I find that that sort of semi-corporal punishment candidates react to very well. So let's start with our opening statements tonight with our candidates here for the 7th Plymouth District. Let's start with Alex Bezanson. Good evening.
Good evening. And thank you to WATD and their staff for hosting this forum. My name is Alex Bezanson. I grew up in Quincy and moved to Abington in 1987 when my son Brian was just 4 years old. I coached his soccer, baseball, and basketball teams when he was young, and I immediately felt a connection to the community. In 2002, I married my lovely wife, Lisa, and together we own a small contracting business. In the early 1990s, I was appointed to the Abington Conservation Commission and spent 23 years on that board, 15 as chairman. I then served 1 year as water commissioner, and as a water commissioner, I proposed a policy, and it was adopted, to waive all system development fees for low-income senior and veteran housing. In 2015, I was elected to the Abington Board of Selectmen. As a selectman, I was able to reach an agreement with the City of Brockton to increase the sewer capacity from 1 million gallons to 1.5 million gallons per day. I was instrumental in obtaining a grant of $178,000 for a dog park. I pushed for the adoption of the stretch code, which was one of the last pieces of the puzzle for Abington to become a green community. With that came a $164,000 grant for energy conservation. After our own family tragedy, Lisa and I formed the HUG Foundation to help families that are going through medical issues, to help pay for the incidentals insurance doesn't pay for. Lisa and I also founded the Abington Substance Awareness Coalition to be a resource for addicts and families and to bring awareness and education to students and parents. I'm running for state representative because I know I can be an effective voice for the hardworking people of Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement from Alex Bezanson. Now let's go to Kevin Higgins.
Thank you. Thank you so much to WATD for hosting us, and thank you, Alex, for participating. My name is Kevin Higgins again, and I'm a Democratic candidate for state representative in Abington, East Bridgewater, and Whitman. I grew up in Whitman in a low-income family that was faced with the challenges of addiction and financial hardship. And I watched my parents work 50 to 60 hours a week, buy their first home in their late 30s, break into the middle class, and then lose everything as a result of predatory subprime mortgage lending. From that moment, I decided to dedicate my professional life to public service, and I put myself through college, became a social worker in elder and disability services, and then became a union organizer with SEIU Local 509. Throughout my career, I met so many families in our community who shared the same story as mine, and I'm confident we can do better. If elected, I will put the working families of our district first, ensuring that our public schools are fully funded by modernizing the foundation budget formula, fighting for equitable taxation that rewards working families and ensures wealthy individuals pay their fair share, tackling the opioid epidemic with comprehensive treatment programs that address the socioeconomic determinants of mental health and addiction, and protecting all of our public services that keep our community moving forward. Since the start of my career, I have been fighting for working families, seniors, veterans, individuals with disabilities, and the most vulnerable among us. And I'm confident that if we elect a new generation of leadership on Beacon Hill, we can improve the quality of life for every family, for every working family in Abington, East Bridgewater, and Whitman.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement from Kevin Higgins. We're going to go to our questions now. Let's start with Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi.
Thank you, Christine. We'll start with you, Kevin. You'll get the first question. You're a relatively new candidate who has yet to hold an elected office, mm-hmm. but you're receiving an interesting amount of support in the district. Why do you think that is, and can you sustain such support if you're successful during the primary?
Thank you for noticing. I've been in public service since I was 17 years old, and I've worked with many of the families in our district, and I think people recognize that. I think people are really excited for a new generation of leadership on Beacon Hill, and I think we've learned that age does not translate into quality or success on Beacon Hill, and I believe that is why I have received the amount of support that I have thus far.
Alex, you're the only candidate, I think, in the race that has been appointed to office, has been elected to office, but the vibe with some of the Democrats in the district doesn't seem to be as supportive as it should be. What do you think that is?
I'm not sure that's true. I've been getting a tremendous amount of support. I have many, many signs out there. I have the endorsements of many, many public officials, present and former, as well as Congressman Stephen Lynch, State Auditor Suzanne Bump from Whitman, Whitman Selectman, East Bridgewater Selectman, Abington Selectman, and we're getting a tremendous response out there knocking on doors.
Okay. Charles Matthews, any questions for the candidates?
Guys, you would be a freshman legislator if you're elected. Committee assignments would you most like? Let's start with Alex.
I think I'd like to go with mental health and opioid, the schools, education committee, and probably economic development.
Kevin?
So three of my top committees would be the Joint Committee on Mental Health, Substance Abuse, and Recovery, also the Joint Committee on Community Development and Small Businesses, and the Joint Committee on Education.
Why is that, each of you?
Well, me?
Yes.
I've been working on the opioid issue for several years now, and I think being on Beacon Hill, I can expand on that. Education is one of the biggest issues in our district. We're not receiving our fair share of the Chapter 70 formula, and I want to work on that. And economic development, that's another thing I've been working on as a selectman, and even prior to being a selectman. So I think they fit well with what I'm already doing.
Kevin, explain your choices.
Sure. So the Joint Committee on Mental Health and Substance Abuse and Recovery would really just be because of this is one of the largest public health crises that we have seen in a very long time. I think the opioid epidemic has really impacted Abington, East Bridgewater, and Whitman, and there are things that we can do to address this crisis, and one of those things would be really addressing the socioeconomic determinants of mental health and addiction, and that committee would be very involved in that. The Joint Committee on community development and small businesses. We have an issue with generating revenue in all three towns of our district, and I would like to propose policy to work on that issue. And then the Joint Committee on Education, we need to, the funding formula for our public schools has not been updated since 1993. And we need to make significant investments in our public schools to ensure that students and teachers have every resource they need to succeed.
Okay. Did you have a follow-up question?
Oh, I have loads of follow-up questions, but go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Kevin, I believe you're a proponent of a single-payer healthcare system. How would that work here in Massachusetts?
Sure. So instead of paying, you know, really high out-of-pocket expenses and premiums and things like that, it would be a 7.5% tax on businesses and a 2.5% payroll tax on employees. Really, both lowering the expenses for both businesses and individuals receiving the health care. And I think it also, in the long term, we have more leverage and more bulk purchasing power when it comes to medical equipment, when it comes to pharmaceutical drugs. And so I think it's a cost-effective alternative to our current system of health care.
Would you have a ballpark figure of what you think the average premium would be per month for people as opposed to what it is now?
It would be a sliding scale, much like the Massachusetts Home Care Program would sort of run. But a figure off the top of my head, I wouldn't have.
Okay. Alex, what about you? What do you think about a single-payer health care system here in Massachusetts?
At this point, I'm not in favor of a single-payer health care. The reason being, Massachusetts has always been the leader in health care, and we came up with Romney Care, and that was the model for Obamacare, and I don't think we need to just throw everything out and start over. I think there are definitely problems. There are holes in the system that need to be addressed. The insurance premiums are outrageous, but I think we should roll up our sleeves and we should work to fix what we have right now rather than trying to start all over.
Okay. Let's go back to Kevin Tachi. Your questions for the candidates.
I'm going to steal a page out of Christine James's playbook from last week. She asked a really interesting question of the candidates, and I thought it was a good one to ask from some of our candidates moving forward. And that is, if you're elected to office, what type of legislation would you author and champion? Now, we're not talking about supporting someone else's bill, but we're talking about leading the way with your own legislation. We'll start with Alex.
Well, I would like to, again, get back to the opioid. I would like to force the insurance companies to do longer treatment times. You know, 7, 14, 30 days is just not enough. I would propose legislation that, along with treatment, that we need to have some sort of vocational training. We can't just have someone go through a 30-day program and then put them back out in the street and they're going to start all over. There needs to be follow-up. There needs to be vocational training and help them with housing and outpatient afterwards. You can't just do a 30-day treatment and put them back on the street. It just doesn't work.
Same question, Kevin.
So the issue I would most work on and the policy that we work on is around the opioid epidemic as well. And I believe that what I mean when I say we need to address these socioeconomic determinants of mental health and addiction is we really need to address the route of addiction and treat mental illness. We need comprehensive treatment programs that look at housing sustainability, access to affordable health care, navigation through the legal system, making sure that there's community reintegration after detox programs and that we have long-term treatment programs to ensure continuity of care. And so that would be an issue that I focus solely.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates here, the 7th Plymouth District.
On the other side of that question about legislation that you would like to initiate, how would you go about constituent services in this district? That's probably more work than filing or supporting other legislation. Alex?
Yes. Constituent services is probably the biggest part of being a state representative. I plan to have a district office with volunteers in that office several days a week. I think throughout my life I have been somebody that has always helped someone in need, and I think that plays well in this position. Like I said, that would be number one priority, and we would have a district office, and that would be accessible to all the people of the district.
Kevin, how would you approach constituent services?
So this is, I'm glad you asked. This is something I feel like has already started. I think even as a candidate, I've really been already immersing myself in the community, being used as a resource. And, you know, since the start of my career, that's exactly what I've done is constituent services within social work. And, you know, I've worked with every state agency. I know how to navigate through the system, and I can help people access those services. And, you know, my cell phone, I'm always open for a call or a meeting, and I'll certainly be available.
Okay.
Okay. Charter schools versus public schools. Do you have a passion for either one? Do you think there's room for both? Do you think that charter schools should get out of the way and let public schools do their thing? Let's start with you, Kevin.
Absolutely, 100% charter schools should get out of the way. We should ban funding for charter schools until our public schools are adequately funded.
Okay. Same question for you, Alex. Public schools versus charter schools. Okay.
Same answer. Charter school, to me, is a private school. If you're going to a private school, you should be paying tuition and not taking the funding from our public schools.
Okay, let me just do a quick follow-up. People have been, all candidates have been pretty critical about the funding formula for public schools for that money. Was it Chapter 70 funds?
Yes.
How would you change that, Kevin?
Well, I think something that I believe in is a progressive system of taxation. Something that I think we really looked forward to was the Fair Share Amendment, which would have been an additional 4% tax on individuals making over $1 million. And it's something that I'm going to continue to keep fighting for on Beacon Hill. I think the majority of our district and the majority of Massachusetts wants this to happen. And I think anytime we talk about making significant investments into our public schools or any investments into critical public services, we need to make sure that that impact is not solely on working class families, that they can blunt the impact of that, and we can make sure that wealthy individuals are paying their fair share.
What about you, Alex? How do you feel about that same issue, about the funding?
Well, the funding hasn't been changed since the 1990s. And a good example is Abington. In the last 5 years, our funding has gone up 5%. And I'm not sure Whitman and East Bridgewater, but I think it's about the same. Whereas another town, I won't mention, locally, has gone up 30%, about the same size. It's just not fair. We need a representative in there that's going to fight every day to get our fair share of what's owed to our district. And I'm that person to do that.
Okay. Let's go back to Kevin Tachi now. Questions for the candidates here.
There's a bit of a controversy regarding the town of Whitman and their July 4th festivities and campaigning practices. What's your recollection of this day, if you were there, or thoughts on the issue, involvement with the event, and should candidates conduct themselves in a certain way when it comes to campaigning, whether it's at a public event or going door to door? Kevin, we'll start with you.
So like I said before, I did make a statement about this. I think that I respect, obviously, free speech rights, but I do think it was a day where candidates were asked not to campaign, and I chose, you know, to be a candidate who just respected those rules, and we'll move on from it.
And this isn't the only event that has been affected by campaigning with this particular race, right?
Correct.
Has there been other events in the communities, the three communities that have been affected that you know of?
Not where candidates have been asked as specifically as they were for the 4th of July event in Whitman, but...
Okay. Same question, Alex.
I was there on the 4th of July, and we were told we could set up a table and hand out our palm cards or goodies, and that's exactly what my team did. I won't get into what other people did, but that's what we did. We were also asked the week before to not hand out literature and not campaign at the Abington summer concerts. And we are abiding by their wishes, and I told the Abington summer concerts that. Just because you're allowed to do things, they're the ones putting this on, and I want to respect their wishes.
Do you feel there should be a proper protocol when it comes to campaigning? Everybody's different when it comes to campaigning, but should there be a protocol, a respectability when it comes to going and infiltrating a public event, no matter what kind of event it is?
I definitely think there should be, and I think it's up to each individual candidate to see how they want to conduct themselves, and we chose to not campaign at the summer concerts and not mingle with the crowd at the Whitman event.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, question for the candidates here.
Now that we've delved into politics, this has been a Republican seat for 8 years. Jeff Deal won by 54% in 2012. He ran unopposed in 14 and 16. What do you have to do to make it a Democratic seat, Alex?
Well, I think I've got a history of working with across the aisle with both Democrats and Republicans as a selectman and throughout life. I get along well with everybody, I think, and I think people respect that. I think because of some of the endorsements I've had, I think that's backed up. I've got numerous union endorsements and public officials and community leaders, and I think they see that I'm the person that can work across the aisle and can get things done for the district.
What would you do to make it a Democratic district again?
Continue what I'm doing.
Okay. Kevin?
So I disagree a little bit with Alex. I think that the working class people of Abington, East Bridgewater, and Whitman, I think they're over endorsements. I think I've received endorsements too, but we don't even really talk about them a lot because people are really focused on pocketbook issues. They're really focused on those things. And so I think more, I'm less concerned with the Democratic Party. I'm less concerned with the Republican Party. I'm really focused on the needs of working class people first, and that's it.
That is the district, isn't it? It is. We have no Duxbury, and yet it's not Brockton. It's an unusual district in that it is working class, the long-forgotten Route 18 corridor.
Right.
Yes. How do you appeal to those people?
Well, I am one. And I think that it's, you know, when you physically experience the same challenges and issues of the constituents that you hope to represent, that means something. And it means that, you know, you're closest to those issues and that you can authentically represent them on Beacon Hill.
Alex?
Well, I think, like I said, I've been around the community for many, many years. And I think people see me as a hard-working, everyday guy. You know, and I go out to work every day, just like all the people in our district. We don't have a lot of millionaires in our district, you know.
How many?
I don't know, but I don't think there's too many. I think most of us are just about average and a little below average.
Yeah.
In the district.
Okay, thank you.
I think the most millionaires live in Hingham, I believe.
Yeah, the Hingham part of the district, yes.
I believe for the South Shore, I think that's the highest number. Just a reminder to folks who are listening to a WATD political forum, it's the 7th Plymouth District, Whitman, Abington, East Bridgewater. We've got the two candidates for the Democratic spot on the ticket, Alex Bizanson and Kevin Higgins. I'm going to ask you both a question. This has been an issue in your district. I've been here through over 25 years, and this question has come up in just about every race, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat in the seat, and that's the Second Amendment. Where do you stand on that? Do you think, how do you feel about guns? How do you feel about the law in Massachusetts? Okay, do you need some changes? Kevin, what do you think?
Sure, thank you for asking me this question. It's very important in our district, and I absolutely respect the Second Amendment rights, and I think, you know, our argument was, you know, when working with Moms Demand Action, was that it's important to be able to have a mechanism through the courts to be able to take someone's access to guns away when they are a danger to themselves or someone else. And I think it's an important conversation we need to be having. I think Massachusetts is better than most states when it comes to this, and that's why, in my personal opinion, that we've avoided some of the massacres that we've seen in other states, and I'm very grateful for it.
Okay. Well, Alex, what do you think about the Second Amendment? In your district.
I'm all in favor of that. Just for full disclosure, I am a gun owner. But I think that the red flag bill was a very good bill. I think we need to be able to take guns away from people that are mentally unstable or may hurt themselves or someone else. But I think we have the laws on the books. I just think they need to better enforcement. And I think there needs to be much better enforcement on gun safety and guns in the houses. There are laws on the books on that, you know, with trigger locks and or in a safe. But, you know, we had an incident in Abington a couple of years ago, and a 10-year-old kid had access to that. You know, I think, and I'm not blaming any parents, it's just that I think parents think that they teach their kids to be safe with guns, but I think they need to be locked up, and I think the laws need to be enforced.
Okay. Thank you. question for the candidates, Kevin Tachi.
I want you each to make an argument for experience versus new blood. Alex, you have experience where you've served on various boards. Make an argument for experience and how it best would serve you as a state representative representing the 7th Plymouth District.
Well, I do have 27 years of experience volunteering to the town of Abington between Conservation Commission, Water Commissioner, and Selectman, and a record of getting things accomplished. I think people are going to look at that when they go to the polls, and they're going to see that I do have a proven track record. And I've learned a lot of things over those 27 years that will help me. You know, how the government works, how the town boards, Conservation Commission, and Water Commission, as well as the Selectmen, how that works and how the budgets work. So I think that's the experience that people will be looking for.
Kevin, talk to me about being new blood, being a new voice. But that could be the one thing is where you haven't had the opportunity. I think your first office that you're running for. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about going out to the voters and saying, "This, like, I have a new vision. I may not have the experience, but you're going to give me an opportunity. Make an argument."
Well, and I think this is about our district too. Our district, you know, they say very loudly, and I agree with them, is that what is happening on Beacon Hill right now is not working, and we do need to elect a new generation of leadership on Beacon Hill if we want to make significant improvements for the quality of life for working families in our district. And I think, because of my age, a lot of people think I don't have experience, but I've been doing public service work in different ways and politically as well, in on issue-based stuff for a long time. Since I was 17, and I did political work through my union, and I really think it's about knowledge, it's about the issues, and it's about policy, what you actually want to do, and I'll be ready on day one if given the opportunity by my community.
Charles Matthewson, questions for the candidates?
I'm stealing from Christine again.
Hiding my papers.
We all take turns.
Yeah. What kind of Democrat are you? Are you a Reagan Democrat, a Bernie Sanders Democrat, or somewhere in between? Alex.
Well, first of all, I'm an Alex Byzantin Democrat.
That's what everyone says, whether it's Democrat or Republican. I'm my own guy. You know, there's no party. This isn't a primary.
I would be a moderate Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my mentors, Congressman Stephen Lynch, who is sort of a middle of the road Democrat, I get to talk to him frequently and get advice from him. And very good advice. So I respect him, and I respect his positions on most things, not everything. I don't agree with my wife on everything, so I'm not going to agree on politics with everything.
Thank you for being honest.
But so you do.
No, you'll pay for that later.
Yeah. Getting a close up on it right now.
But I think you would call me left of center.
Okay. Thank you. Kevin, what kind of Democrat are you?
So I think, you know, I don't want to say it because everyone says it, but I do feel like I am a unique strand of Democrat. I disagree with the Democratic Party often. I obviously disagree with the Republican Party often. I would say that I disagree with House leadership in the Massachusetts House of Representatives often. I would say that, like I said, again, it's about working class first. And if I had to align myself with a national political figure, it would probably be more towards Bernie Sanders. And with someone who's local to us, it would probably be, I'm very proud to have the endorsement and support of our former state representative in the 7th Plymouth District, Kathy Tian. I think we share similar values.
What about, now I'm stealing from this guy here, Kevin, what about dealing with the leadership? You said you would mm-hmm. disagree with them.
Well, I think we've become complacent on Beacon Hill, and it's a problem. So I understand the need to build relationships to bring funds and to bring money and aid back to the district. But also, I'm someone who says when the legislature is not being receptive to the needs of a district, we need to build collective grassroots power to put pressure on the legislature to respond to our needs. And that's what I hope to do if given the opportunity.
Alex, how would you approach leadership?
I would go with what I feel is the best, whether it's along with leadership or against the leadership, and what would be the best for my district. I will always vote for what's best for my district and not just what the leadership tells me to vote for.
Thank you.
Okay. Gentlemen, small business, the backbone of the entire district here on the South Shore. What will you do if you're elected that will help small business here in your district, 7th Plymouth District, Alex?
That's a good question, because I've already been working on that. And that was the problem in Abington. We had reached a capacity for our sewer, and we couldn't allow any other businesses to open up in Abington. So that's why I negotiated an agreement with Mayor Bill Carpenter, and we got an additional 500,000 gallons. And that has opened up. We have new businesses filling some of the vacant storefronts in Abington now. But another thing I'd like to do, and I started working on this as a selectman, is to go after the property owners of the small retail, vacant retail stores or storefronts. And what Lisa and I did a few years ago, we had a vacant auto body shop and used car lot, and we were paying a $4,000 a month mortgage. So we went to, someone came to us, and we gave it to him for half price for 2 years to see if he could make it. And he's been there 7 years now. He's paying full retail, and he wants to buy the property, actually.
Okay. Same question, Kevin?
So I would say two things with this. First is that, again, I go back to a graduated tax rate in the state of Massachusetts. I don't believe mom-and-pop shops should be paying the same as Amazon and General Electric, and we see our legislature constantly giving handout and subsidies to large businesses while our small businesses fail to have the advantage and to be able to compete. I would say the second thing is that we've put out a policy proposal that would bring together community banks, small business entrepreneurs, and the state to allow startup small businesses and prospective entrepreneurs to access conventional banking services, technical assistance, and capital to ensure that they can succeed. So that's two ways I would help small businesses in the district.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Let's go to our own Kevin Tonchi now, and your questions for our candidates here.
So I want to ask you, gentlemen, about House Bill 4546. It's a current bill that's been voted on by the House, also the Senate. This is to establish community benefit districts, which would allow neighborhood taxation. Have you heard of this bill? And if so, are you for or against such a measure? Start with Kevin.
So I just heard a little bit about this. I have not dug into the issue yet, but what I would say is from what I've saw so far, I would not be for it. I think that it benefits the wealthiest among us. And like I've said a couple times in this interview, I'm really focused on the working class and working individuals in Abington, East Bridgewater, and Whitman.
Do you feel that we need another layer of government? Do we need another way for... Because some folks say the Prop 2.5 overrides, you know, it benefits, but not necessarily. And there are those in the community that want the best for their couple of blocks that they may live in. So this might be something that will go over well. Your thoughts?
I would have to dig in more to commit one way or another. I would say that if we're talking about Plymouth County government, I am for...
No, wait, that's a Christine question. Wait.
I promise you'll get that during the lightning round.
You will. It'll be the first one out of the chute.
All right, great. Thank you.
Christine.
Same question, Alex.
Again, I haven't read much about this, but from what I have read is that I understand that businesses could almost take property by eminent domain and establish, for the better, for the growth of the business stuff. And no, I'm not in favor of that. I would need to study the bill more, but on the surface, I'm not in favor of that.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates.
You guys have been knocking on doors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hence my sunburn.
Yeah. What have you been hearing? Kevin?
Top three, opioid epidemic, investing fully in public schools, and then also our public services. I think right now we're really, our town department heads are pitted against each other because of a lack of state aid, and I just want to see us come together, and I hope to be that legislator who can tie us in and fight for the additional aid so our town department heads don't have to be like that, don't have to experience that.
This is a two-part question, but first, Alex, what have you been hearing?
The biggest thing is the opioid crisis in our district. Our district has been hit very hard with that. The other is always the school, especially in Whitman. They're really hurting for funding, and it's mainly because of the schools. They needed to do an override last year for the fire department, and an override to fund the department is never a good idea. So they need they need someone on Beacon Hill that's going to bring our fair share of the local aid back to the towns.
Okay. Kevin, how would you respond to those three requests that you've heard knocking on doors?
So I've talked a little bit about my plan to address the opioid epidemic. It's a comprehensive plan. We have it on my website. It really ties together existing infrastructure and our state system of care. And that's in terms of public schools, I've talked about that, and that I believe in a progressive system of taxation to be able to make significant investments in our public schools, to ensure that the circuit breaker program that for special education students is fully funded, that we make sure that we can address the rising cost of health care for teachers in the school district. And then for public services, again, it all goes back to local aid. And I think it's very important to know that a lot of candidates and elected officials will say, yes, I'm going to fight for local aid and investments in public schools. But we can't do that without generating more revenue. And I want to make sure that the revenue that we generate is not from the working class in our district.
Alex, how do you respond to what you've been hearing?
Well, I've given some background with the opioid crisis, and I'll continue to do that. And I tell people that I've been involved in it. And I think the biggest part is longer treatment and vocational training. As far as school funding, I'm not sure we need to raise more money for it. I think the money is there. I think it just needs to be a more fairer distribution. And I don't think that's been addressed in several years. And I think that's where the problem is.
Okay, thank you.
Question for the candidates here. What does it matter to the average voter whether or not you get elected or to this office? Alex?
Well, I think to the average voter, they probably think it doesn't matter. But if you look at our district, we haven't had the local aid that we need. We haven't had someone fighting for the Chapter 70 funding for us. And I think by talking to the people, they realize that I will do that for them. I am just like them. I'm a working guy just like them. And I think the more people I reach, the more people realize that.
Okay. What about you, Kevin? What will it matter to the average voter whether or not you get elected?
So I think that every candidate in this race and in a lot of other races in our region, you know, you can't pledge no new taxes and also say that you're going to make significant investments in our public schools and our public services. It's overpromising at best and lying at worst. And I think that, you know, I'm really just looking forward to being authentic. And, you know, we do have a revenue problem in Massachusetts, and I look forward to working on it.
Okay. Kevin Tosche, question for the candidates.
Probably one area we haven't touched upon is the state's transportation infrastructure, whether it's the MBTA, repairing or replacing roads and bridges, especially in your district. Talk to me about what you'd like to see done, what you're going to do to go up there to be able to get money funding for certain projects in your district. Mm-hmm. Alex.
Well, I'm very disappointed the so-called millionaire's tax did not pass, because I think that would have helped without hurting anybody, actually. And that would have addressed a lot of the issues for the infrastructure in our district and throughout the state, including the T. I got all lost on that.
Just basically,
what will I be doing?
Give me your thoughts on
and that's
infrastructure is key, and we've been hearing for years that the many of our roads and bridges are crumbling. There's been issues with the MBTA, especially in the wintertime. What do you feel needs to be done in that area and also back home in your district?
Well, I think the management of the MBTA needs to be looked at. I think there's probably a lot of wasteful spending up there. I'm not in favor of privatizing any of that. I stood with the machinists when they were protesting the governor on that. I think the money is probably there. It's just not being spent correctly. We do have a $1 billion surplus. I would like to see some of that go to rainy day, but I'd like to see some of that to go to the cities and towns for infrastructure.
Okay, hold on one second. You're listening to 95.9 FM in Marshfield, the South Shore's news and information station. This is a political forum, the 7th Plymouth District, and right now we're speaking with both the candidates for the Democratic side of the ticket, and that's Alex Bezanson and Kevin Higgins. Now let's continue that question with Kevin.
Sure. So I also, I believe that we need to keep public transportation public, and I stand with the machinists as well. I stand with the unions involved with the MBTA, and I also think that we do need to make more investments. We have an outdated system. I also believe that we need full electrification to make sure that our public transportation system is greener and more sustainable for the future. And I'm also... I've also already started to have conversations with the Brockton Area Transit Authority to see if we can expand some of the routes for busing so that students in our district can get to Bridgewater State University and Massasoit Community College.
Well, what about funding, though, in order to be able to do some of these funding upgrades, some of the infrastructure upgrades? Mm-hmm. Would you be in favor of open road tolling, Kevin?
Yes.
Alex, same question.
No.
Okay. Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
No open road, you know, is the toll house gone that many years now?
Yes, many years.
Okay. Bada bing, bada boom.
Kevin, you mentioned the B word. How do you relate these three towns, suburbs, sort of Brockton? How do you relate to that large legislative block? Mm-hmm. Friendly, hostile, in between? What's your approach to Brockton?
Friendly, 100%. I have a lot of interest in Brockton. I worked there for a long time at Old Colony Elder Services. I love the city, and I think, I really look forward to working with their delegation because a safer Brockton is a safer 7th Plymouth District. And there's a lot that we can do in terms of criminal justice reform, in terms of addressing the opioid epidemic, really in our region. And I can't wait to work with legislators from Brockton.
Alex, how do you relate to Brockton?
I love Brockton. What happens in Brockton affects our district. And I've already worked very well with the mayor of Brockton and some of the councilors. I have great relations with all the legislators over there. And they've actually pledged their support to us and our district to help us any way they can. Abington Sewer goes to Brockton, as I mentioned earlier, and we were lucky enough to get an additional 500,000 gallons of sewer from the mayor of Brockton. So I work well with them now, and I continue to work well with Brockton.
Okay.
I was waiting for you to say what happens in Brockton doesn't stay in Brockton. Weren't you going to say that?
I yes.
Okay. Sorry, I just had to take the words out of your mouth. Any follow-up on that?
No.
What are your thoughts on illegal immigrants here in Massachusetts? What types of services do you think they should qualify for? Driver's licenses, housing vouchers, reduced tuition at state colleges and university, any or all? Alex?
Undocumented immigrants, I think, should be allowed to get a Massachusetts license. I think most of the immigrants coming to this country are coming here to try and better their lives. And I don't think we should hold them back if they want to become productive citizens, productive people in our society, and taxpaying citizens. I think there needs to be a better path to citizenship, but I'm in favor of allowing them to have a license. The other two were?
Housing vouchers. Reduced tuition at university.
Housing voucher, no. I think you should be a U.S. citizen to get a housing voucher. We have enough people here that need those. Mm-hmm. And the third one, I'm sorry.
Maybe reduced tuition at colleges and universities.
Well, my feeling on that is anyone that graduates from a Massachusetts high school should be allowed to go to a state college at in-state tuition,
okay,
whether you're a legal immigrant or an undocumented immigrant. If you graduate from the high school, you should be able to go to the college.
Same question for you, Kim. What do you think?
So first, I think language is important, and I don't think that any resident of the Commonwealth is illegal simply for existing. I think we have to be intellectually honest with ourselves about not providing these services. And I can say from a social work perspective, really all three of these would really, I think, have negative consequences if not provided. And so housing vouchers, many undocumented immigrants are part of mixed status families. And I think we could be putting children who are citizens and maybe that have a parent who are not a citizen, we could be putting them in harm's way if we don't allow them to access affordable housing services. In-state tuition, absolutely. I believe in debt-free public higher education, and I think anyone who wants to better themselves through a higher education should be able to do that. And IDs, yes, I think that anyone who is out on the roads should have to go through the same, meet the minimum standards as us, road testing, and that's all. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you a chance now to ask each other a quick question. Kevin, do you have a question for Alex?
Do I have a question for Alex?
Yes.
Would you support the Massachusetts Safe Communities Act?
Not on a state level, I wouldn't. I think it should be up to the cities and towns.
Okay. Do you have a question for Kevin, Alex?
Would you?
Yes, I would. I would side with the police on this one. I think that we should not be using our local resources to assist in a federally politicized decision of ICE.
Okay. Let's go to our lightning round now. Again, these are questions that are, the answers are either yes or no, or one or two sentences. Okay, I'm going to do this because I know you guys are waiting for me to say
this. We're anticipating.
That's an impression of Dan Pallotta. Plymouth County government.
Not a very good one either.
Okay.
I can do a better one.
Two sentences. Time to stay in Plymouth County government or time to leave Plymouth County government? Alex Bazanson.
Stay. I was fortunate enough to be on the Plymouth County Advisory Board for 3 years. I see how the county government works. I see the great work that Treasurer Tom O'Brien is doing, okay, and Greg Hanley and the other commissioners.
Just two sentences.
That was all one.
It's tough, isn't it? A lot of commas, a lot of run on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
Same question, Kevin.
Yes, stay.
Okay, there you go. I'll let you. All right, Kevin Tocci.
All right, let's get you talk politics, getting political. Should there be a term limit for the Speaker of the House? Yes or no?
Kevin, let's start with you.
Yes.
Okay, Alex, yes or no?
No.
Okay, Charles, question.
Alex, what are your primary news sources?
Two sentences.
Honestly, it's WATD. WATD, WBZ, and NPR.
Okay.
Thank you.
Kevin?
So many. That's a hard question because I review multiple news sources.
Just two sentences.
CNN, the Boston Globe, the local newspaper.
Okay. He's not getting the good kiss-up answer in there. Is that what you're looking for?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Also, with
the big kiss-up answer.
Something we haven't heard a lot about this time around in the elections. Is there enough transparency in state government? Kevin, two sentences.
No, I don't think so. I think that even when it's about posting like a roll call vote on the website, there's always issues around that.
Okay, what do you think? Enough transparency?
No, I think there's always room for improvement on that.
Okay, let's go to one more lightning round question. Kevin Tocci.
One word that best describes you.
Let's start with Alex.
Karen.
Kevin?
Determined.
Okay. If you have a quick question, Charlie.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Which would you prefer? Which do you prefer, podcast, radio, or TV, Alex?
Radio.
Kevin.
To watch or to be on?
To be a consumer of.
Radio.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, we're going to go to our closing statements now. That's some good debate here, some good questions as well. We're going to switch the order that we started with. So we began with Alex and then went to Kevin at the open. So now we're going to begin with Kevin and go to Alex. Thank you for being here. Kevin Higgins.
Thank you again for hosting us for this forum and to all the residents of Abington, East Bridgewater, and Whitman who are tuned in. I hope to earn your vote on September 4th in the Democratic primary to elect a new generation of leadership on Beacon Hill and stand up for the working families of our district. The establishment has had their turn to get things done, but our community continues to struggle. And I would like to discuss these issues, the issues important to you, and how we can work together to get things done. And I'd like to give out my cell phone number. It is 617-416-8657. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was Kevin Higgins. Now let's go to closing statement for Alex Bazanson.
Again, I want to thank WATD for the opportunity to present my ideas. And to the people of Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater, this is a very important election for our district. I am the only candidate in this race that has municipal and government experience. I have been an active community member in Abington for 27 years. I have a proven track record when it comes to working across the aisle and getting things accomplished. As a small business owner, I know what it's like to lace up the boots every morning, and I know what it's like to meet payroll every week. I am the true candidate of the working men and women.
I am the best candidate for this office, and I think that's backed up by the numerous endorsements that I have received from public and private sector unions, current and former elected officials, and community leaders. I will be your full-time state representative, working to get the most out of for our communities on Beacon Hill. I will maintain a district office, and I will be accessible to all the people of the district. I urge you to make your voice heard and vote for me, Alex Bazanson, on September 4th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You've been listening to a WATD political forum here. It's the 7th Plymouth District, and that is East Bridgewater, Whitman, and Abington. We've had the two Democrats here, Alex Bazanson and Kevin Higgins. This whole forum will be up on our website, and we'll have selected cuts from this playing tomorrow morning during Morning Drive, and also this is being taped by Whitman Hansen Cable. We appreciate you getting it for us. Thank you very much, Kevin Tachi. If you stay tuned, you're going to get the Republicans up for the same race, and we always let people know on primary night we will have reporters out in the field. We'll have a reporter following each one of you folks as well. September 4th is primary night. It's early. Remember, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple minutes with part two of the doubleheader here.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
WATD-FM Marshfield, WMEX Boston, and 95.9 WATD.com.